Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Tired Mummy Podcast, a safe platform where we can openly discuss the highs and lows of parenthood, judgment free. Join me in authentic conversations with mums and dads from across the globe. Let's help each other feel less alone. Let's grow and feel better in our parenting skin together. Come join our tribe while we get into some real talk. And don't forget, bring your coffee. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Tired Mummy Podcast. I'm your host, Alice Lainsbury. Today's guest is Lauren from Innate Fertility. Lauren is a wealth of knowledge, and her passion is to help women with their fertility and preconception journey. Through Lauren's own journey, she has seen what the innate wisdom of her body can do, and it is now her mission to help women seize the innate intelligence of their body with the right tools and guidance. In this episode, we touch on PCOS, endometriosis, secondary infertility, preconception, and conscious conception. I really hope you guys love this episode as much as I did. This episode is brought to you by MitoLife. I have been using MitoLife for well over a year now, and their supplements have been a game changer in my life, especially in my first year of motherhood. If you've listened to my episode about how I keep my toddler's immune system strong, you would have heard me mention their Shilajit product. Shilajit is a complete trace mineral containing more than 85 carbon-bonded organic minerals that are easily absorbed by the body. It's also a super rich source of fulvic acid, a compound which increases delivery of the minerals into the cell. It's a whole food supplement that brings mineral balance to the whole body in a natural way. And of course, I also take it myself. If I was stuck on an island and I was only allowed two supplements, it would be Shilajit and magnesium for sure. I honestly believe that Shilajit is one of the supplements that has kept me going through these last few years of sleep deprivation. They have a ton of other amazing products as well that I use, like their vitamin E and their beef liver. I really feel like the vitamin E helps me with my skin. It's really good for a ton of other reasons, but visibly I can see my skin improving. And the beef liver, I think everyone knows how amazing beef liver is. It's the most nutrient dense thing in the world, and having it in a tablet form is just awesome because then you don't have to taste the gross liver. MitoLife have given me an amazing discount for my listeners. Just use the code TIREDMUM15 at the checkout and you will get 15% off. So I will chuck the link in the show notes for you, or you can just head to MitoLife.co. That's MitoLife.co. Welcome to the podcast, Lauren. I'm so grateful to have you on the show today. Can you please kick things off and let the listeners know a little bit about you and what propelled you into the work that you're doing today?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me, Alice. I'm really excited to be here. And to answer your question, the one thing that truly propelled me into what I'm doing today and how I find myself here is my experience with the hormonal birth control pill. So that was really what shifted my almost, life goals and the work that I was doing. I was on the birth control pill for 8 years and had originally started taking it for adult acne. And, at the time that I was taking it, there weren't as many resources available to me. Now, you have so much information for free on social media. I don't think that many people realize how amazing that is. Because when I was looking for solutions for acne and, trying to weigh the pros and cons of birth control, I had my friends, I had my doctors, and that's it. And pretty much everyone was pro birth control and couldn't tell me any of the cons or, I couldn't really truly make an informed decision at that time, but I chose to take it. And it was very easy to get. And I took it for 8 years. And hindsight's 2020, but on the birth control pill, I developed a ton of issues like subclinical hypothyroidism, prediabetes. I developed an autoimmune disease and I had melasma. I also had candida as well, amongst many other issues, but those were kind of like the primary ones that really stick out to me during my time on the birth control pill. And then at the tail end of my birth control use, my acne started coming back and I was like, why am I on this? And at that point, there was more information available, not too much more, but I found Dr. Jolene Brighton and started reading about post-birth control syndrome. And it was literally, so I found her. I started doing my own research. I was like, I'm going to get off this. And then I developed post-birth control syndrome and had zero resources, though, because that was still a very novel concept and not many people understood what that was. And my doctors, basically, all three of them, my OB-GYN, dermatologist, and primary care physician, they were like, well, there's really nothing you can do. Or you can get back on this pill, the birth control pill, or take this one. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with you guys. I am so done because during all that time that I had all those issues too, like candida, subclinical hypothyroidism, prediabetes, I was told the same thing. And oh, it can't be birth control, it's not connected. So that sparked my own interest and really got me taking control of my own health, doing my own research, putting together my own nutrition and lifestyle plan. And I was able to heal myself. And also in the thick of it all, I was able to heal my lifelong asthma too, which was kind of shocking. So it was a bonus. And then after that, I felt like I had discovered gold. And, I was like, I need to help people. Because I felt so hopeless, and then being able to reverse all those things and really take control of everything was life-changing. So
That's amazing. I feel like so many people have that story. I have a similar story with the birth control pill. Have you seen the documentary, The Business of Birth Control?
I have, yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. I like you said, I wish something like that had come out a long time ago. But if anyone hasn't seen it, just Google it, you'll find it. It's an amazing resource. And yeah, they go pretty deep into the effects and, the business of birth control. Perfect heading.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great documentary and resource just to let, dip your toes in, not make any commitments, but just kind of learn. It's a great, succinct, hour-long documentary.
Have to agree. Okay. Let's shift gears, because today I wanted to talk specifically about conscious conception, because there's a lot of mums that really want to know what they can do to get their body ready for pregnancy, not just their first pregnancy, but their subsequent pregnancies, to increase their chances at conceiving. Because I'm hearing a lot about, there's a lot of people having problems getting pregnant after their first child, and there's a lot of information out there, and honestly it's confusing. Could you talk us through the common mainstream health protocols that we commonly see that maybe are not as helpful as they're made out to be?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I do see that trend too. It's called secondary infertility, although I don't like that term, because I feel like, you know, using the term infertile, that's just a misnomer. There's times where we're not optimally fertile, even in our own monthly cycle, you know? So I feel like it's misused a lot. So it's not my favorite term, but I do see a lot of women struggling with that. And, you know, typically what I'll see is a lot of assisted reproductive technology use after the first pregnancy. And if you look at the data out there, that's increasing at least 5%, possibly 10%, if I remember correctly, every year, maybe 5 to 10. So it's on the rise for sure. But I feel like there's so much that we can do to support ourselves. So a couple of the things that are very common, but maybe not so helpful, are, you know, a lot of, I guess, detoxes or crazy diets and cleanses. I am definitely a proponent of sort of putting the best version of ourselves forward into pregnancy to, you know, not only support how quickly we can get pregnant, but also how healthy our pregnancy is, reducing risks and complications during pregnancy, which can develop based on our state of health prior to pregnancy. And then, of course, the health of our future child, making the healthiest baby possible, and then being able to recover quickly to be able to support that child once they're born. So I can't tell you how many women I speak to that, you know, they have pregnancy after pregnancy, and this is something we could talk about too, pregnancy spacing, but they're like, I have zero energy to even hold my child right now. I can't enjoy running around with them because I'm bedridden, because I'm so exhausted, or like my teeth are falling out because I have no minerals left. And you know, of course, for every story like that, there's also a story for, you know, it's totally fine, everything's fine. But there are, you know, it's something to just be aware of, because not everyone has lived the same life experiences, had the same nutrition, have the same stressors. And so based on our resilience, and that's going to be very individual, we have to consider that in terms of like what we want in our goals. So as far as things that we see that are maybe not so helpful, those detoxes, you know, again, I do truly believe that we can do things to decrease our heavy metal load, which we pass on to baby, decrease our gut dysbiosis, or optimize our microbiome, because we also pass that on to baby. And that's very, very important also for avoiding things like group B strep in the third trimester when you get tested and all that stuff. And xenoestrogens, which can make it more difficult as well. There's chemical estrogens that can really throw our own hormonal balance off. And can mess with our cycle, but they can also mess with the sexual development of our future children too. There's also things like mycotoxins and mold, which can also act like estrogens, but also really create some issues with egg quality and sperm quality. So there's definitely some intentional things that we can do, but, you know, doing a tummy detox, or I don't know, a crazy like fasting juice cleanse prior to pregnancy is not great. I would also say, you know, eating fortified foods is also possibly not great, depending on where you're coming from. Of course, there's a financial implication too, like what can we afford? But there's a lot of fortification. And one of the aspects of fortification in particular, here in the United States, there's tons of fortification, especially with the product processed foods. They fortify with iron and folic acid and sometimes other things. But the thing about fortification, you know, these things are, I mean, it's kind of like the government sees like, oh, we can prevent this many diseases by fortifying the food system with this, you know, thing. And that's all great and dandy. And, you know, in the 90s, folic acid was like discovering gold, going back to that saying. But now we know more about folic acid and more about the population, and about 50% of the population here, at least in the United States, has an MTHFR gene mutation.
I do.
Yeah. And literally can't convert folic acid into folate, which methylfolate, which is what it needs to be converted into. So folic acid is a chemical, whereas folate from food is pretty much always in the usable form, or at least the majority of the folates in food are the one folate that is the most present in food is already ready to go. We have, you know, potentially we are yes, preventing neural tube defects, which is the number one thing that everyone knows folic acid for, but you know, why is a third of the population folic acid resistant? Why is a third of neural tube defects resistant to folic acid supplementation? It just doesn't work to prevent it anyway. So and we're also discovering how, you know, unmetabolized folic acid is potentially harmful. We don't know what it can do, and if we can't convert it, it just kind of does what in our body, and
floats around.
And there's been connections made. I mean, a lot of it ends up in cord blood. A lot of it ends up, you know, potentially causing issues with tongue ties and things like that. So there's, you know, we still need folate, and folic acid also has the potential to cause a functional folate deficiency because it'll block the receptors, but it won't act the same. So, you know, if we have half the population with this issue and we're eating tons of fortified food. So, you know, if you're eating the standard American diet, or as some call it, the standard Australian diet, you're getting a ton of fortified foods in your daily, you know, nutrition regime, and you're probably getting a ton of folic acid, which is probably not going to be super beneficial. So it's definitely a controversial subject, excuse me, because there are more studies done on folic acid than folate, and also they're used interchangeably in the research, the name. So it's all quite confusing and very complicated, but we're learning more, and we should be doing better to kind of communicate this information, I feel. So, you know, you may want to, and of course, you know, removing processed foods is going to be beneficial for everyone, not necessarily removing them completely, but minimizing them and replacing them with whole nutrient dense foods. That's going to do so many wonders. I think there's also a trend kind of in parallel to this, taking huge doses of folic acid. There's a lot of doctors and MDs that, especially for women struggling with fertility or, you know, recurrent pregnancy loss, they'll prescribe like 2000 micrograms of folic acid, and that is insane without even testing them for MTHFR. So I think that's another pretty reckless trend, and it's going on. I have women reaching out to me all the time about this. Doesn't that sound weird to you? Like, I feel weird taking this, or it's making me like have hot flashes or feel dizzy. I'm just like, what is happening? Because these MDs should really know this, can do some damage. So I feel like that is definitely a miss. I think there's a lot of fear around vitamin A as well.
Yeah.
there's so much dogmatic fear about it because of these studies done in the 90s that were done incorrectly. And, I would say, like, synthetic vitamin A, sure, there's definitely a potential for birth defects. You know, synthetic anything, too much in excess, of course. Even, you know, potentially real stuff, although I don't believe there's ever been that documented. But, you know, when you're getting vitamin A from real whole foods, they're going to have the other cofactors that allow it to work properly in the body. So there's less of a fear, less of a risk. You know, if you're eating tons of fortified foods too, you're probably getting extra synthetic vitamin A, where that could potentially be a problem if you have a high vitamin A intake overall. And vitamin A, I mean retinol, not beta carotene, they're very different. So I mean preformed vitamin A, not pro vitamin A. And I can explain that if you want, but I think also a lot of women, and this is more so less advice, but more so on the culture of convenience. A lot of women will rely on prenatals too much, I think. They don't realize that prenatals are a supplement. They don't contain all the nutrients we're supposed to be getting for a healthy baby. They're vastly different. There's no like regulation around what can be called a prenatal. You could guess and be taking this random thing, and you thought you were getting this nutrient, you thought you were getting all the nutrients you needed to support baby, and you're eating like crap food. And then, you know, it kind of creates this, I find that it creates like less good food habits. Of course, there are women out there, you know, they got it locked in, trying really hard, but just know that prenatals don't contain all the nutrients you need. You have to eat good food if you're being intentional about getting all the micronutrients you need. So there's no way to get around. There's no replacement for a high quality diet. And that could be very different from person to person based on their economic status and, you know, their intolerances, their lifestyle. But whole foods, real foods are going to never be outshone versus prenatals. And I think maybe this is more so for pregnancy. This is my last one, I promise. During pregnancy, there's some advice that there's some also really old advice that you should avoid eating shellfish or seafood because of the mercury content, or you know, don't eat runny eggs or deli meat or, you know, raw dairy. When, you know, these are all, sure, they're animal products, and every food has a risk. But that's the thing, every food has a risk. And if you look at research, which is out there, animal products have just as much of a risk for foodborne illness as plant foods. So, you know, what are you replacing it with? That romaine salad, you're just as much of at risk for a foodborne illness. You know, if you were, you know, intentionally swapping your deli meat for that romaine salad. So there's a lot of unrealistic and really crazy fear put around these foods. And a lot of women end up removing these foods completely from their diets, or doing some weird stuff like microwaving their deli meat, which, no judgment, but it probably tastes really gross.
Wow.
and so, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I break this down a lot on my page and in my course, but we don't have to have as much fear as we think we do. And ultimately, it's based upon our own risk tolerance, what we choose to consume and, you know, allow into our bodies. But if you're avoiding these nutrient-dense foods for less nutrient-dense foods, you might be missing out on some really key nutrients. Like, for example, shellfish and seafood, they're really great sources of iodine, zinc, and selenium. And that's kind of hard to make up if you're not intentionally
aware. Hard to get those. I mean, when I first, it's my first pregnancy, it's that the fear is still there. There's still a lot of fear around that food, but I did my research, but anyone listening, I had oysters, I had the cheese, I had the eggs, like I had the beef liver. Like they do try to scare you with, oh, beef liver's got too much vitamin A. You need it. You need all those foods. So yeah, if you're wondering, I survived. I didn't get any, you know, illnesses. But like you're right with the salad. I do know a mama who got salmonella from eating a salad. Like, mm-hmm. So it's all, you know, the risk, there's risk in everything, like you said.
Yeah.
Now I'm a pretty conscious, aware mama, and there's a lot of factors to consider when you're thinking about conceiving, and sometimes thinking about them all is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But where do you think is the best place to start? Do we need to learn more about our bodies with testing, or do we just start with diet and exercise?
That's a great question. And I'm going to take probably a different approach than you may anticipate. So I think the first thing to do is to stop outsourcing your health and to get in tune with your own self. And that is going to be invaluable because you're going to have to make so many decisions, not only during your pregnancy, but also for your future child. And if you are not solid in sort of what you want your pregnancy to look like, what you want your parenting to look like, what health decisions you want to make for your child, it's going to be so difficult to make those decisions in an informed way. And oftentimes we'll be making decisions out of fear instead of from a confident, true, and genuine place. And so those fear decisions are the reason that women go, oh, I so regret doing this in my pregnancy. I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. And it really creates so much stress during pregnancy too. Like, oh, I don't know what to do. Should I do this? Should I do that? And, you know, or you just like, I can't think about this anymore. I'm just going to do what he says or she says. So I feel like it's so important to start these habits and that mindset now, because it's only going to help reduce stress, make those decisions so much easier to make. Because if you know yourself, if you know what you want, then you're going to be able to navigate much more smoothly, because you're going to be able to say, okay, this doesn't, you know, resonate with me and the path that I want to take. I'm going to choose this. Or, you know, it'll just make that decision-making process so much easier and so much more in tune. And you'll end up in a place where you feel happy instead of regret and remorse. So I would say, you know, maybe make a list. What do you want for yourself? What do you want as a mother for your pregnancy? And then sort of more aligned to what you were asking earlier, or I guess maybe possibly expected from this question. I would just start by looking at your health right now. How is it right now? What is your cycle like, your menstrual cycle? Are you regular? Do you have a good enough luteal phase? Are you making enough progesterone? Do you have any PMS? How is your libido? That is information that will tell you your state of health and where you might need to make improvements. Mm-hmm. Your cycle is the fifth vital sign, and that is going to tell you so much information. We need to pay attention to that. You know, you can't get pregnant without ovulating. You can't get pregnant without intimacy. Those all need to be happening. So what better place to start? And I would also, of course, look at nutrition and lifestyle. I would say exercise is also very important, but that's going to range quite a bit. But if you know, if you've been eating the standard American or Australian diet for the past few years, you might want to take some time to build up those nutrient stores, because you're probably going to be lacking in a lot of nutrients. Or if you are on a plant-based diet, for example, there's going to be some really purposeful and intentional nutrients you want to also focus on building up that are going to be really important for pregnancy. I would say lifestyle as well. You know, what's your sleep like? Are you getting enough sunlight? How is your stress? These all sound like very simple, basic things, but oftentimes we seek the magic pill to replace these, and they cannot be replaced. So it's really important to look at these things. And I would say, yeah, those are kind of, that's where I would really start, and then go from there. And, you know, if you notice you have an irregular cycle, okay, what's your nutrition like? What's your sleep like? What's your stress levels like? What kind of testing do we feel like we need to do? Do we need to do a cycle map? Or, you know, is a regular Dutch test good enough? And do we want to test your thyroid? You know, kind of that kind of stuff. But it's important to just have that check-in with yourself.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's a really smart thing to do, is to start with your mindset first and set realistic goals. Like, I really wish I was pretty like into nutrition before my first pregnancy, but like by the end of it, I needed an iron infusion because my iron was so low, and I haven't had my iron check since. And I know it's really, really low, and that's something that I need to work on now. But I just, you know, that doesn't set you up for success. You know, you get to the end of your pregnancy and you're tired. Then you become a parent for the first time. Holy moly, you're tired. 2 years on sleep deprivation because your child doesn't sleep, you're tired. Like, you know, there's, in hindsight, there's just so many things I wished, you know, I'd set myself up for. And definitely, you know, your first point is something that I really wished I had guidance for, or someone was like, you know, you should probably think about this first. So that's definitely something I will start with when we decide to try again. Yeah. Like, I think it's really important. You know, you can make your body as healthy as possible, but you still need to have your mind in the right space and, you know, be realistic and set goals and have a lot of self-compassion as well.
Yes. That point is really important, because hopefully this doesn't come off as like, you need to know everything before you even try.
Yeah.
No, you also have to be able to go with the flow, you know, accept information, but figure out kind of like what your process is going to be like to synthesize that and what you're going to accept into your life. Not everything is going to go as expected. So you also need to, again, like you said, have self-compassion and be able to kind of be agile as well.
Yeah.
Because as much as everyone would like to control everything, pregnancy is too wild for that. So.
It really is. It's like the number one lesson in like letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can't control anything. So is parenting, actually.
mm-hmm.
Now I wanted to talk a bit about the spacing that you talked about before. In a perfect world, how long should we prepare our bodies for conception, especially between children?
That's a really good question. I think it's going to be different from person to person. There's definitely like recommended guidelines out there. I'm not sure what it's like in the Australia, but in the US it's like 3 months.
That's terrible.
But if you know anything about, you know, egg maturation and all that stuff, that's not nearly enough time most of the time, because women in their reproductive years, most women are nutritionally deficient as well.
Yeah.
So we really have to be intentional about building up our nutrition stores, just as one example. I think, and I talk about this in my course, and I'm actually being much more thoughtful about this. I'm going to have kind of like a flow chart. For those that don't know, I have a preconception course, but it's going to help you kind of figure out timing. But that's because there's no one like exact time frame. You know, what has your stress level, what have your stress levels been like? What has your nutrition been like for the past couple of years? Do you have any unresolved trauma? What are your cycles like? If you have irregular cycles, you're going to need time to regulate that? You know, do you have gut issues like SIBO, H. pylori, dysbiosis, parasites? That all needs time to be taken care of and then builds back up again. And these are all areas that we imprint on our children. We imprint our hormones, our nutrition status, our microbiome status, our stress and trauma, our athletic capacity, and so much more. And that starts at the time of conception. So, you know, as much as we can prepare, it really can do a lot to not only help put our best foot forward, but also give us peace of mind in case, you know, we do get morning sickness that first trimester and we can't eat that much or anything like that. So I think that there's really no one set time frame from pregnancy to pregnancy, or from child to child. I would say there are guidelines out there based on some research, and it's about 18 months at least between from delivery to pregnancy, and that's to reduce pregnancy complications. And I can't remember everything off the top of my head, but there's like preeclampsia risk increases, birth defects risk increases. So it's a bunch of different things. I have a post on it on my Instagram page if you want to check it out. But there's some good research to show that, you know, anything shorter, it starts to increase the risk of a lot of complications or birth defects. So, you know, that would be sort of a minimum. And if you look at ancestral or traditional practices, it was at least 2.5 years to 4 years between each child. And that was to ensure the recovery, the optimal recovery of the mother, the optimal survival of the child, and then the optimal survival of the subsequent child. Yeah. There we go. you know, it's all about optimal survival. And throughout these different phases, there's intentional foods that people are eating, these tribes are eating. So it's all very purposeful. And of course, you know, not everyone has the luxury of preparing. Sometimes, you know, we think we have a certain timeline and then a surprise happens, or it just doesn't go as we expected. And I do think preconception is, while it's definitely worthwhile, it is a bit of a luxury for a lot of women. But I think it's a really great opportunity, and it's very empowering, because I think most people think that we can't control what happens, like, we have zero control of what happens. Like, our genes, our genetics are our genetics, our genes are our genes. We can't change it. Why even bother? But there's so much research, and I've literally seen it in so many clients. Like, you can have a much better pregnancy the second time if the first time was not great. And, you know, you can really put your best foot forward to avoid certain complications that you're worried about or that you experience in your first pregnancy. And you can have a thriving, energetic pregnancy and a thriving, energetic postpartum and a healthy child. And, you know, it's really cool to see everything in action kind of like coming and unfolding.
That's so awesome. I think, yeah, it's taking like radical responsibility. Like, you can have the outcomes that you want. I think sometimes, you know, in a world where you can pretty much get anything you want right now, I think it's hard for a lot of people to take that time to put in the effort. I know sometimes I feel really impatient with, you know, if I'm working on like my nutrient, like my minerals and my vitamins and like my iron, for example, like I know that's going to take time to get that up there. And I know I'm a little bit impatient, but I just have to suck it up.
Yeah.
Because I want a better outcome. I want a better experience. So.
Yeah. Nothing worthwhile is instantaneous. There's a saying. I'm messing it up.
Yeah, no, I know which one you're talking about. I can't remember the exact saying either.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Now, I wanted to ask my second last question. Do you see any common themes with women finding it difficult to conceive?
Yes, I do. And as far as trends go, I see, and are you asking about trends?
Yeah, like just things that you see commonly all the time, in specifically with clients that are having a hard time conceiving.
Okay, got it. So a couple of, I guess, like issues I see commonly, and then I can talk about sort of maybe habits. A lot of unexplained infertility. I feel like that's being handed out like candy, that diagnosis.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on, but I think doctors are just like stumped right now. A lot of short luteal phases. So there's a lot of progesterone not being made adequately or utilized adequately. There's a whole, you know, just because you can make enough too doesn't mean you can utilize it. So you have to be able to do both and circulate it too. So I feel like there's a lot of luteal phase deficiencies. We have recurrent pregnancy loss as well, being one of the, maybe it's by default that I get, you know, so many women reaching out to me about this, but it's quite common as far as my practice goes. To address what I see most commonly across all these things is, and to be super high level, it's inflammation. So a lot of inflammation, a lot of oxidative stress, a lot of, you know, spending too much without putting any in the bank or the tank. There's not enough supply to meet the demand. And as women, we take on so much, and, you know, there's so much that we do every day, especially for moms. Like, they are really amazing superhumans, but yeah, it comes at a cost sometimes. You're doing everything,
yeah,
and you get no breaks, and so that kind of builds up in the body, and there's just a lot of inflammation. So that's a generally speaking, in terms of like simplifying, yeah, that is kind of what I'm seeing. And that could mean, you know, maybe there's not enough nutrient dense diet happening, and maybe you're not getting enough antioxidants, or maybe you're not sleeping enough, or maybe it's a combination of the two, or maybe, you know, we have some unresolved trauma that we need to work on, or maybe we're over exercising, not eating enough. There's so many things that can sort of trickle down out to, or trickle down to, that's kind of what I would say. So, you know, addressing this would be to kind of figure what those things are out, based on that person's individual body composition, biology, physiology, history, their goals, their timeline, and working on those individually to get them something that works for them, that they can sustain, and that will hopefully help them reach the goal that they want.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think a lot of diseases and, I don't know, hormonal issues or women issues, it's just blanketed over, and commonly I feel like the core issue is inflammation, and they just give all these different names, but really if we could lower inflammation, it would probably make most of them disappear. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, like metabolic issues like PCOS, that trickles down to the reproductive system, but that is an inflammatory condition, and so is endometriosis, and like all these reproductive issues, we kind of like drive ourselves crazy trying to run down the rabbit holes of like these, you know, really unique niche things. But if we can kind of like zoom out, there's a lot of the same stuff happening, or a lot of the same areas of opportunity. So
Awesome. Okay, my last question for you, and that is, what advice would you give to anyone that's feeling like they're wanting to give up on their conception journey?
Oh gosh. Well, I definitely understand this pain. Just, you know, I understand it from so many perspectives. So you're not alone. Just know that. Journey can be long for a lot of people, and sometimes it's really hard and defeating, and you don't know, you know, it can be really, really rough, emotionally especially, but also physically, depending on what you're going through. If you're going through fertility treatments, that is taxing. So I think that, you know, I am also not a toxic positivity person, but I think it's important to know that you know, your body is smart and it knows what to do. And even if you feel like it's stabbing you in the back at this moment, and that it's dragging you through the mud, sometimes, you know, we just need the right tools, or it could be we might need a break. Just a little break too sometimes can help, for your mental spirit, emotional spirit, your physical spirit. And oftentimes, so I guess what I would say is there's that perspective. Your body knows what to do. It just sometimes needs the right tools, or sometimes it just needs, maybe we're putting so much stress on ourselves, and this is not to gaslight anybody, but maybe we're putting so much stress on ourselves, and which is often what can happen. I'll have a client say, we're going on a break. I just need a mental break. And that's the month that they get pregnant. So, you know, giving yourself air and space to breathe, because, you know, that journey, it's a job. And we also need breaks from that. Mm-hmm. To just allow ourselves to be human. So don't, you know, neglect that, especially if you've been on that journey hammering away for like a year or more. Just, you know, sometimes that breath of air might be what you need to. And there's so much more to unpack there, but in the time that we have, I think I'll just leave it at that. And but you're not alone. So just know that too.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today. You have unpacked a lot, and I will send everybody to you, because I'm sure anyone that's listening is going to want to know where to find you. And you do have a lot of resources on your page and on your website, and so many like awesome recipes and stuff. Like, I've been putting bee pollen in my coffee. Like, I think that's amazing. Like, yeah, lots of resources. So I'll put everything in the show notes so everyone can find you. But I just really wanted to thank you for coming on and sharing so much of your knowledge and wisdom today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Alice. This was a wonderful conversation.
Wow, that conversation with Lauren was so insightful, and I'm so grateful for all of her knowledge. If you resonated with Lauren and would like to go find her, you can find her at innate_fertility on Instagram, or you could go to innatenutrition.com. She really does share so many resources on her Instagram in particular, but she also does have some freebies on her website, so be sure to check it out. Thank you again for listening. I'm so grateful for every listen. And if this episode resonated with you, please leave me a 5-star review on your podcast app. Thanks again, everyone, and I'll speak to you soon. Until next time, this Tired Mummy is signing out.
Flexibility Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.